Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Shannon Furman is the director, HBO's Hard Knocks, embedded in the Chargers camp. I love that series. I've loved NFL films for years. I've grew up on that stuff. I got to know what Shannon Furman grew up on. Shannon, thanks for making time for us. Were you like an NFL films fan before you went to work doing this stuff?
I can't say specifically NFL films. I was a sports fan. I grew up in Philadelphia, so I was a huge Philadelphia sports fan. And I mean, I tell people now that I'm probably the worst Eagles fan on earth because I root for people at this point, not teams. So it's kind of tough anymore. But I've always been a sports fan. I knew who Steve Sabol was as a kid, and I knew they were right in my backyard because I grew up in South Jersey. So I was familiar with the product.
Give us an idea of, you know, when a moment is happening, you guys get it on camera, you got it on film. Do you know it when you see it, or is it later in the cutting room that you kind of recognize the moment?
I would say it's like 50-50. There are certain things that you hear and you know automatically, like, that's going to be in the show. And then, like, the other 50% kind of just happens on its own when the people back at home get it. We're not actually, the hardest part of this job is, we don't actually edit the show here on location, too. So we direct it, and then we send it off, and it's kind of out of our hands. So we can make suggestions to the people at home, but at the end of the day, we don't have a ton of control over what they put on the screen.
The decisions that are made, and too, like, you know, for people in our region, I think there are people who are tuning in to watch Hard Knocks because they love it. It's compelling entertainment, but there's NFL fans. And then there's Justin Herbert fans. You've been there. We haven't had a chance to see much of Justin Herbert. You know, how often is he popping up on Hard Knocks?
I mean, he's been pretty great. He was featured a lot in shows 1, 2, and 4. I would say show 3, we did a little bit more with Tyrod. But Justin's been great. He told us coming into this that he hadn't seen a ton of Hard Knocks. He said he didn't have HBO growing up. So we kind of have tried to, like, just make him as comfortable as possible, and he's been really fun to work with. A story I told everybody week one is that my assistant director, he played quarterback in college. He went to Amherst, and so he's like our football guy that's here. And about 10 minutes into the first practice, I texted him and I said, my ridiculously early prediction is that this kid was going to be a good quarterback. He's like, why are you telling me this? And I said, I just like his demeanor. I like the way he talks to his coaches and teammates. I think he's had a pretty good camp. I know it's not a normal camp, but everyone here seems to be pretty impressed with him.
We're talking to Emmy-winning director Shannon Furman, HBO's Hard Knocks. You check it out on HBO. Shannon, the stories. You talked about rooting for good stories. What do you mean by that? And kind of frame it towards this season of Hard Knocks. What are some of the good stories you see playing out?
I mean, our two rookies that we've really been following are Darius Bradwell, he's a running back, and then we have Braden Fajoko, who is a defensive tackle. Braden is someone who was on our radar from the very beginning. He's a Polynesian guy, very into his culture. We've seen him doing the haka dance back when he does the tiger walk at LSU. So he was someone who was on our radar from the very beginning when we found out we were doing this team. Darius Bradwell is a character who kind of came about almost because of coach. We have a coach who's a former running back, so he spends a lot of time with that position group. And Darius caught his eye in the beginning, and maybe not for the best reason, he was overweight. But coach started focusing on helping him and figuring that out. And so Darius has kind of emerged as a character for us because that's one of the many issues guys are dealing with this year. I mean, He couldn't do the workouts with his teammates. He came in 20 pounds overweight, and he's been working his butt off to get down to his normal playing weight, which I believe he's at this point. So he's lost those 20 pounds in the 6 weeks that we've been here, and he's been working super hard. So those are just two of the stories, you know, in the rookies we found this year. We had a couple more that, you know, didn't get featured because we're splitting the show with another team. But we're always looking for those good long shot stories in addition to telling the veteran stories like Keenan Allen and Chris Harris, who were prominently featured in show three.
Access is so important in the sports world, and we've seen less and less of it. Amid a pandemic, how has that changed access for you?
It hasn't changed that much. We were able to, so the NFL is doing like a tier system. So the players and coaches are all in tier one. We're in tier two. So we have a crew of 26. Half of our crew, 13 of us, are in tier two. So we have 13 people who are able to be around the players and coaches with social distancing involved and masks, obviously. We follow the same rules that they follow. So we get tested every morning. We wear tracers in case there is anyone who comes up positive. We basically are kind of in the bubble. It's not a strict bubble like we're seeing in the NBA and NHL, but it's been pretty successful so far. So our access has been similar. It's just less of us kind of operating in that area.
Shannon Furman with us, director HBO's Hard Knocks. Shannon, how old were you when you knew, hey, this is what I want to do? I want to tell stories. I want to be a director and producer.
I was fortunate. I was probably like 14 or 15 years old. I knew. Yeah. I had a program in high school. In high school, I went to a pretty large high school. So I was running a cable TV show that was run out of our high school when I was in school. And I was playing sports. I'd be the kid with the camcorder at the games that I was playing in. then I went to Penn State and did a bunch of stuff there, more with in their athletic department. I did a bunch with their men's and women's basketball team when I was in college. I got very lucky. I was about a year out of college when I got hired, and I started my own business doing high school highlight tapes and wedding videos, things like that, when my resume got in the right hands.
What advice do you give to kids? Because, you know, I got a high school kid in my household. She loves video storytelling. She's got more YouTube followers than I do. But there's part of me going, hey, man, that's a really competitive industry. I don't want to deter her, but I want to encourage her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like she's off to a good start if she's got a YouTube page going. That's what I tell everyone, just, like, networking. It's all, like, a lot of it is, like, who you know and then how prepared you are once you meet the right person. So just meet as many people as you can, because you never know who someone's connected to, and do your best to stay in touch with those connections that you make, and just be ready. Like, it could happen at any time.
HBO's Hard Knocks does such a good job. Shannon, you do such a good job with this. It's so compelling. And, you know, I feel like we're getting to know players in a way that we've never got to know, and getting to hear those stories. Do you still get energized by telling those stories? You know, I know it's a job for you, but I watched that show and I'm like, I'm really into it now. I'm emotionally invested in some of these guys.
Yeah, 100%. I think all of us that work on this show, we're like a family too. So, I mean, we look forward to this time every year. I'm not going to say that we're not all ready to go home. It's winding down. We have 5 days left, but it's been pretty great this year. We all go home a fan of the team we've worked with, so I'm sure we're all going to be pulling for the Chargers this year. We definitely become emotionally invested with all of this that's going on, and we really want the team to do well this year, too.
Is there a player over the years that you felt like you just really enjoyed being around, who had just good energy, maybe somebody who walks in the room with gratitude every day? Is there somebody like that?
I mean, the one that stands out most to me, just because it's been recent, was I really enjoyed working with Darren Waller from the Oakland Raiders last year. The Las Vegas Raiders now. But telling his story was probably the thing I'm most proud of I've done on Hard Knocks. He was an addict. He overcame addiction and became one of the best tight ends in the league last year. On Hard Knocks, it's hard for us to tell backstory a lot of the time, because there's so much happening in the moment that it's hard to kind of flashback and tell where these guys have come from. But we were able to do that last year, and I thought it was really powerful, and the feedback we got from it was pretty awesome. So he's a guy that we really still follow, and we're continuing to root for him, and really we're happy that we were able to tell his story. I mean, there's a bunch more. There's Mike Evans in Tampa. He has a great story, too, of that stuff he's overcome. But I think the stuff with Darren is what I'm most proud of in my past 6 years with this show.
Shannon Furman, director, HBO's Hard Knocks. She's in the Chargers camp. I am a sports columnist at The Oregonian. I do this show. I have a hard time going to a game and just relaxing because I'm always thinking, what would I be saying? What would I be writing? Can you watch a documentary, just enjoy it for the documentary, or are you always looking at the edits, the cuts, the music? What would be different?
Yeah, I think I do look at the edit that way also. Sometimes, like, especially when I watch sports documentaries specifically, like when I watch shows like Last Chance U or QB1, anything like that, I like look at what they do, think about what we do. Should we be doing certain things differently? It's probably a little 50-50. I try to get lost in it a little bit, but I'm always looking at the different things they're doing with their cameras, different equipment that they're using, how they're telling stories, music that they use, all of that stuff. I think it's hard to lose that.
Shannon Furman, I appreciate you. Great stuff. We'll continue to watch your work and get home safely in 5 days.
Thank you very much.
All right. There she is, director of HBO's Hard Knocks. I love that series. I often said one of the reasons why I like to go to movies is, you know, I'm doing 15 hours of radio a week. I'm writing columns. I'm on KGW. I like it when someone else is entertaining me. And Shannon Furman, you do a good job entertaining me, among others who create great documentaries. So I think more now than ever, people are appreciating that. And I think there's some Duck fans out there that probably appreciate watching Justin Herbert with the Chargers, seeing how his career goes. All right, we have been on fire with guests today. The podcasts are going to be crazy. Alabama Adriana is going to be busy later podcasting all these interviews. We rarely do this. It was just one of those days. So HBO wanted to give us Shannon Furman, Stephen Ortiz, the professor at Oregon State, wanted on the show. Gabriel Sewell was like, oh, I can only do today. Obviously, we had A.J. McCord on from Coin, so we're just jam-packed today. And then, of course, in the 2 o'clock hour, Anna will join, so it's going to be fast-moving. But if you've ever wondered about the spouses of major professional athletes, well, our next guest has written a book about it. The spouses, what it's like. What did they know what they were getting into? A sociology professor at Oregon State, Stephen Ortiz, will be joining us here after the break to talk about it. I appreciate those of you who listen to this radio show statewide. You're listening to The Bald-Faced Truth on the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network. Leave it right here.
BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
Stephen Ortiz is a professor of sociology at Oregon State. He's written a book that caught my attention when it crossed my radar. And I think you'll be into it, too. It's called The Sport Marriage. It's about survival. It's about sacrifice. It's about the ultimate team players. And if you're somebody out there that has often watched sporting events and you'll see the camera cut to the spouse who's in the stands, and you go, oh, look, there's the spouse. We don't often think about their world, their experience. Stephen Ortiz has made it a study. Professor at Oregon State joining us now. I appreciate you, Stephen Ortiz. Appreciate what you are doing here. Where did you get the idea for this book?
Oh, that's a really good question. I was a grad student working on my second master's thesis. And at that time, my main interest was in some of the occupational stressors that male pro athletes have to deal with in their careers. And as I was getting into that topic and doing some research, it was brought to my attention that, hey, the public knows a lot about these guys. Why don't you study something that the public has less knowledge of, which is their families and their marriages? And so I gave that quite a bit of thought and decided to go ahead and do it. And so I did interview a number of wives, husbands in the NFL, and there was so much more that they wanted to discuss that I was prepared for. And so I thought, well, maybe once I have this written up and turned in, when I move on, maybe this is something I'll return to and research in more depth, which is what I did. And there were so many stories that these women wanted to share that I thought, well, maybe when I get further along in my career, I'll have an opportunity to increase the scope of my previous research. And the more I listened to these particular women, I thought somebody's got to share these stories. Somebody has got to do research, because these are relatively invisible women. Their voices have been silent for so long, and we only know anything about them from stereotypes, all these prevailing stereotypes, radio, on reality programs and movies and so on.
You know, it's interesting because I thought about this at the beginning of the pandemic, as we saw players in sports having to make decisions between loyalty to their team that they're paid by and loyalty to their family. There is a loyalty issue that is almost triangular there that is in play here. How does that work when, because often what's right for the team is not right for the family?
Yeah, you know, that's another really good question. I think when I look back on the research that I've done, the one thing that really stands out that characterizes the sport marriage, and we're talking about heteronormative, heterosexual sport marriages, is what I'm calling a career-dominated work-family model. And in this career-dominated marriage, the husband's career always comes first. It's a priority in the marriage. Everything else is secondary. And so you have a situation where the wives defer to the husband's career. She will do all she can to support the career. And career success is all important because it validates all of her sacrifice, all of her support, everything that she puts into this particular kind of relationship. And so if he achieves success, then it's a positive validation of everything that she puts into the marriage. So she is not going to do anything that would disrupt or destabilize the relationship. And that's part of this career-dominated marriage idea, is the fact that these women follow what I would call an unwritten book of rules, the do's and don'ts in marriages to male pro athletes. And so there are just certain things you don't do as a wife in public life. And this represents so many normalized rules that these women have internalized, that these women have normalized, and that these women follow. And their husbands expect their wives to follow this rule book.
The Sport of Marriage, written by Stephen Ortiz, professor at Oregon State. Stephen, give us an example of kind of some of those unwritten rules that they're expected to follow and how they sort of accept that. And, you know, obviously, I think it's a fantastic study.
Well, thank you. Yeah, one rule is never do anything in public that could reflect negatively on the husband's celebrityhood, his image, or the team's image. And so the women learn to bite their tongue when they get angry. They learn to grin and bear it, so they suppress all the time in public life. Their anger, their frustration, typical stories revolve around female groupies that make advances to their husbands in public situations right in front of the wife. And so the wife will suppress her anger at this inappropriate behavior and smile as if she's not affected by these kinds of advances. And that gets old after a while. If your husband is fortunate to have a lengthy career, that's many years of suppressing all the time. And so this makes for angry women and women who are frustrated because their husbands really don't discourage this kind of female interest in them in public situations.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Do you find the same, or did you look at maybe when the athlete might be a female athlete who is successful. Do you find the same dynamic to exist in a marriage or a relationship where it's the roles are reversed gender-wise?
I have not run across any research.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.